Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. The first story I'd like to get into today, coming from activistpost.com, is entitled Police State, Thousands of Americans' Electronics Illegally Searched at the Border. Now, this is a story that we've covered in the past, and it's something that few are actually aware of in regard to what this is really talking about. Many don't actually know that there is currently what's called a 100-mile constitution-free zone around the United States. And this is 100 miles encircling the United States, wherein the Border Patrol are able to basically operate outside the Constitution. And this is not something that they'll openly discuss. But when it comes to illegally searching you and your electronic devices, it's something that they claim to have free rein on. And what we're seeing now, and there's lots of lawsuits actually currently taking place around this, is where people will be crossing through this area. And the Border Patrol demands that they hand over their electronic devices and even their passwords for them to begin searching through. And then, and in many cases, when you refuse or if you refuse, you're held for a long period of time where they drill down on you and basically threaten you with all kinds of different things if you do not comply. And it's within their power as they see it to actually keep your devices if they feel necessary. And what we're seeing is that they are literally digging through and trying to find anything useful to hold you for. And at its core value, this is absolutely unconstitutional. Whether you're talking about illegal searches and seizures or any number of different things we could discuss that make this an absolute violation of your constitutional rights. And when you really get into the idea of a 100-mile constitution-free zone, I mean, that is just reminiscent of some very authoritarian regime type aspects of the past. And again, we've talked about this a lot in the last few shows. This is where the United States government is heading right now. A lot of these different steps are being presented as security and safety for the average individual and under that guise. But really what we're seeing is this new authoritarian push to further control the populace. And in most cases, when you really get into the idea that a lot of these things have been shown to really not stop much of the things they claim to be trying to protect you from, which is terrorist attacks and outside enemies. And it's all focused inward on the individuals within this country and domestic terrorism, which is what they're focusing on. And, you know, many may feel that that is something that we need to be focused on. And I can admit that there are some people within this country that could potentially pose a threat to the safety of the average individual. But that does not mean that it's okay to just do away with the constitutional rights of everybody in that area. And now also ask yourself what that means for people living within this 100-mile zone. There's so many deeply seated issues in this story that need to be addressed. And first of all, this is something that has not been voted on. I don't think the people in these areas were asked if this is something they want to take part in or whether this is something that they're okay with. I mean, that's the larger issue here with a lot of different things we've discussed is that it's no longer our choice. These things are happening independent of the so-called democracy we live in. So what I recommend for anyone passing through these zones is to hold strong to your constitutional rights and stand your ground. It may be uncomfortable. They may even try to threaten you. But at the end of the day, what we're seeing is a lot of these cases are coming back from the courts and essentially showing us that we have the right to stand our ground. But it's a dangerous precedent. So I would recommend that if you have a family or any other reason you might be concerned with taking this kind of a stand, maybe not. But I like to believe that all of us should, at all costs, take a stand for what we believe in. The next story is one with a very positive note to it, coming out of RT.com. Judge dismisses all charges against Bundy family, bars retrial. Now, the Nevada rancher Cliven Bundy and his sons were released by a federal judge in Las Vegas after she dismissed with prejudice all charges against them. Prosecutors' failure to disclose evidence had led to a mistrial. U.S. District Court Judge Gloria Navarro ruled Monday that the government committed flagrant prosecutorial misconduct in the process against Bundy and his sons in relation to the 2014 armed standoff with federal agents over grazing rights. This is just yet another case that gets into the idea, or rather the growing awareness around corruption and misconduct within the FBI and the government in general. Now, again, this goes back to the idea of whether or not we feel a lot of people actually still feel that this entire idea, this entire case was sort of a psyop or a, a misdirection tactic. But I think that this is a positive step in general, showing us that, I mean, really just raising awareness around the idea that these kind of things are taking place. And we've talked about in past shows about how the Bureau of Land Management and the government in general should not be able to own land, which is what this really revolves around. It's just what this standoff originally started with, is the Bureau of Land Management essentially trying to charge Bundy Sr. with illegal acts. And now we're seeing that federal prosecutors willingly withheld evidence from defense attorneys. It just goes to show you that they will essentially take any action to achieve their agenda. And we really need to begin to pay attention to the encroaching power of the government and how they're violating our constitutional rights. Many would argue today that the Constitution in and of itself really has no more power or sway over the government. But I would argue that that is wholeheartedly due to our lack of resolve as the American people to stand up for these kind of things and put our foot down when it comes to these kind of authoritarian steps. So at the end of the day, I would say that the resolution to this case is a very positive thing, but we need to begin to address the larger issue at play here, which is essentially the government overreach and how it's affecting everything in this country. So the next story from yesterday is coming out of the antimedia.org. Pakistan says the U.S. is no longer its ally, and it's a much bigger deal than you think. And this is something we've been talking about the past few shows and really showing you that the diminishing U.S. world power is leading to a lot of interesting things. And we even called it in the last couple shows about how what the United States was doing and Trump's aggressive rhetoric was pushing Pakistan to this level. And that's exactly what we're seeing today, is now Pakistan openly denied that the U.S. is an ally of theirs and now is openly dropping the dollar and moving to the Shanghai bloc, the yuan dollar. And as we see other countries taking this similar step, and this continues to grow across the world, this is something we need to continue to pay attention to and really acknowledge that things are shifting on the geopolitical scales. Next, coming out of ZeroHedge.com, John Podesta was briefed on gross negligence before FBI removed phrase from Clinton exoneration. Now, I bring this up for a very important reason, and that essentially that this is moot. And we can add this to the growing pile of already prosecutable evidence to all of these individuals. And I ultimately think that none of them are going to be held accountable. Now, that is my opinion. And I openly hope that the Podestas, the Clintons, that they will all be held accountable for their innumerable crimes. But I, when I see this kind of story, I continually get frustrated, because this is yet another thing that they could openly be held accountable for. I mean, this is a crime. What we're talking about is a crime, and how they're all deeply involved, whether you're talking about even the Washington Post and the FBI, involved in manipulating what happened here. I mean, there is enough evidence right now to charge Clinton and the Podestas with a lot of different crimes. And what this is regard to is the manipulating of the term they use, gross negligence, essentially so Comey could exonerate her. There is so much corruption involved here and so much manipulation that we need to begin to recognize that not only is this happening, that the FBI is wildly complicit with all of these things, but yet nothing is happening because of it. And I continue to see Donald Trump tweet out about crooked Hillary and all these things that he tweets out on a regular basis, as if he's somehow on the outside looking in and not the president of the United States. If they truly want these people to be held accountable, they would be held accountable. So until I actually see something take place with them, I'm going to continue to feel that this is just another way to placate the masses, to continue to let us think, oh, here's another little bit of information. We have more to go on. Let's continue to talk about it. Yes, talking about it is good, but with what we have in front of us right now, action needs to be taken. The next story is one that I'm very passionate about, as you all well know, coming out of the mintpressnews.com, and that is World Health Organization. CBD is safe with no potential for abuse. Now, this is something that is very powerful. Now, CBD is not THC. There's a very big difference there. But CBD is cannabis. The fact that CBD is being announced as safe from the World Health Organization directly contradicts what we're seeing from people like Jeff Sessions and cracking down on medical marijuana across the United States. And for them to come out with this and say openly that it's safe with no potential for abuse is a huge step. And this is something that needs to be spread far and wide. But I would argue that regardless of this, we're still not going to see a change in Jeff Sessions' rhetoric. But it is also important to note that a lot of people within the government are openly calling for him to be fired due to his recent steps to try to roll back the positive steps we've seen in regard to cannabis. Cannabis in general and CBD specifically are some of the most powerfully potent medical aspects we have today. And when you really get into the larger idea of cannabis and hemp in general, it could literally solve some of the most pressing problems of the world today. Now, that's not an overstatement. Really, if you want, I'll include a lot of different information in the show notes to check out, but hemp specifically has been so grossly misrepresented in this country and for a lot of political and financial reasons. And there are so many positive things that could be done using hemp that could solve so many different problems. But CBD is such a great thing to discuss because there are so many powerful medical aspects involved here. Whether you're talking about seizures, Dravet syndrome, cancer, there's so many different positive effects that that CBD specifically can have on the medical community or on the individuals that need it. And rather that the medical community is actively taking steps to not let this happen. But I mean, I should say that, you know, many states across this country are now openly embracing the idea of CBD and medical cannabis in general. But that's why it's so frustrating to see the government taking steps to roll that back, which again, shows us that there is no such thing as a democracy in this country or a democratic republic or whatever you want to believe that this country is. We don't have a say any longer. And that should be very apparent. Moving into the stories from today, the breaking news so far, story coming out of ZeroHedge.com, Russia defends Syrian military bases from massive drone attack. Russian security forces and Russian naval CSS Point in the city of Tartus thwarted a terrorist attack with massive application of unmanned aerial vehicles through the night of the 5th and 6th, January 2018. This is according to Russian Ministry of Defense. They did, however, eliminate all threats with no casualties or damages. It was the, quote, first time the terrorists massively used unmanned combat aerial vehicles of an aircraft type that were launched from a distance of more than 50 kilometers and operated using GPS satellite navigation coordinates, said the Ministry of Defense. Further, the Defense Ministry said the extremists may have been aided by a technologically advanced state, as Russian specialists are now attempting to determine where the flight systems of the drones originated from. The one question that Russia and others are asking in this incident: who is supplying the militants with these high-tech, long-range drones? Now, I'm sure that's a very easy question for many to answer. This is directly related to Syrian rebels on the ground, and we know very clearly where many of the rebels in the recent past were connected to. But I mean, this is something that we cannot jump to conclusions to just yet, but there's clear implications here. I mean, we've seen the escalating Cold War between the United States and Russia and the Western powers in general, and this is something that realistically, if this originated with Western powers or the United States specifically, this is an act of war. And that's why I think this was essentially a proxy effort. But we don't know that just yet, so I'm not trying to jump to any conclusions. But this is a very, very big step. I mean, it doesn't make any sense for random Syrian rebels to attack Russia at this point. I mean, there are some reasons why this would happen, but it seems like a very dangerous step. So to me, this is very apparent that there's some kind of a larger play here, but this is something we need to keep an eye on because this is a huge escalation. Moving on to the next story, it's a very interesting one that we touched on yesterday entitled, Here Comes the Goldman of Crypto. Novogratz is starting a cryptocurrency merchant bank. As the article reads, 1 month ago, cryptocurrency pioneer Mike Novogratz explicitly shelved plans to launch a hedge fund just hours after the biggest crash in Bitcoin in years. Yet he is now bypassing the hedge fund stage entirely and instead starting a merchant bank dedicated to cryptocurrencies and blockchain-based ventures, and he intends to take it public. So in other words, after a 40% plunge in Bitcoin in an hour, Novogratz got some second thoughts. However, he is now doubling down. As Bloomberg reports, the former Fortress manager laid out a series of transactions in a statement Tuesday that would, if successful, raise $200 million and through a holding company, list shares of his Galaxy Digital LP on Canada's TSX Venture Exchange. Should Galaxy's launch be successful, it will be just the first of many merchant banks to emerge in the coming months as all other banks scramble to capitalize on what remains the best performing asset class. Now, this is not inherently a bad thing, but the moral of the story here, the establishment is frothing at the mouth to find ways to not only capitalize and control this movement, but to fold it into the already corruptible and manipulatable system currently in place. Crypto such as Ripple is a perfect example of this. We need to vote with the only power left to us that the powers that shouldn't be are forced to respect, and that is our purchasing power. Invest in the crypto that is focused on decentralization and peer-to-peer transactions. We absolutely must hold true to the real power behind this movement, and that is decentralization. Anything that seems to involve the current banking institutions or any other aspect of the current establishment, we need to be worried about that. We need to begin to pay attention to that and call it out to the rest of the community. And I always find it important to note on this topic, like we've said in the past, there's no way to know for sure that the idea of Bitcoin or cryptocurrency in general is not essentially a government operation in its origins, essentially like the internet was, a DARPA program, and arguably designed to manipulate. But yet we have to recognize that the internet is used in ways today that I doubt they ever saw coming, and really to our benefit. And so it's the same kind of idea here with cryptocurrency. It's what we make of it, and it's how we use it for positive things, for decentralization and peer-to-peer transactions that cut out the government middleman. And it is cryptocurrency like Chainlink or Substratum, which is essentially aiming to make a decentralized internet in general, that we need to invest in, and we need to make a prevalent aspect of this entire movement. So the final story of today, coming out of ZeroHedge.com, peace progress. North Korea will send team to Winter Games as Seoul prepares to lift some sanctions. A day after the Wall Street Journal reported that the U.S. officials are debating whether it'd be possible to mount a limited military strike against the North without provoking a nuclear response, the North said on Tuesday that following a session of talks with the South Korean neighbors, the isolated country would be sending a delegation of athletes, dignitaries, and journalists to the Winter Games in Pyeongchang next month. Once again, showing us what the Olympic Games are meant to represent, and that has historically been built upon peace and honor, even amongst enemies. And this is such an important aspect here. For those that don't know, the Olympics were traditionally a time where even enemies, during wartime, enemies would come together and allow peacetime for these games. And that's why I love to see this happening. And again, this also shows us the mischaracterization of what's going on through the Western media and how North Korea has been openly attempting to both denuclearize and come to meetings and talks to de-escalate what's happening. Yet it's the Western powers and the United States specifically that continue to stage drills and provocations that essentially make North Korea lash out for clear reasons. When you look at what happened in Libya and Syria, there's a reason that they don't want to adhere to what the United States is trying to do. And so then they use those lashing outs to then justify what they're trying to accomplish. It's a continued back and forth. And so far, the U.S. has not responded to this, but I have no doubt this will absolutely infuriate Trump and the United States government, because this is clearly not what they want to happen. This has been an ongoing escalation back and forth. And so for them to be kind of cut out here and see peace talks happening is very clearly the opposite of what the United States government is trying to accomplish, but is a very positive thing. And this is something, again, that needs to be spread far and wide. Realistically, the world in general is aware of these manipulations, but it's those in the Western media bubble that are not. So this is important to share with your friends and make sure they know that there is active peace talks underway. So when we continue to see the escalations that I have no doubt will continue, it'll be clear that it is not due to the North Korean actions, but rather the United States government. For more information on the topics discussed today, check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or any of the important independent sites listed in the show notes below. And as always, question everything and come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.